Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Thursday, April 8th, all day.
What did April eat, mate? Oh, April 8th what?
I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, Mag, literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff here in a nicely toasty, warm Larry Armour Studios, I tell you that much. Giving you the lowdown on all the ins and outs of the NBA season while wrapping Australia a bit. That's what we do here. We don't take things too seriously. We just take the game of life seriously. We'll leave all the serious shit to the nerds. Righto, today's show, KD's perfect return. Boston beat the Knicks and we got a great Western Conference Finals preview, mate. The Suns Jazz, just to make it feel like it was 93-94 all over again. We had a nice duel between Donny Mitchell and Devin Booker. It was the old-fashioned Donny Book. Hey, nice one. We're going to fang through all that in the NBA Australia Game Rats. We've also got That's Thunder Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball, Pantsing of the Evening. Yeah, nah, as we've got Unpopular Opinion of the Day, we've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There's Australian Play Watch, and it's Thursday, so we chuck Kiwi Corner on the end of that as well. We'll preview all the games tomorrow with a pick and preview for each of those. We'll close out the show with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. We'll see how the big Kiwis pulled up after his Easter. This is NBA Star episode 585. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better! Even if you're Paul Pierce. Even Paul Pierce, like Shaq laughed at Paul Pierce on yesterday's telecast, which was pretty funny. Enjoyed that. Forgot to mention that yesterday because I got caught up in the Shaq story of buying that bloke the engagement ring. Aww, wasn't that nice? Right, let's start off today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the Daily. Whip around the first one off the rank. Look, bit of a quick content trigger warning for y'all out there when it comes to sexual assault, sexual abuse. Interesting one that popped up today. Ben Simmons' sister took to Twitter, sort of saying that she was molested as a kid, alleging that it was her half-brother. And I'm not going to name names or anything, but she went on to say that she hadn't gotten any therapy or any help about it. She was sort of told, allegedly, that, you know, she was being silly, all this sort of stuff. And then she goes into pretty full-on detail about what she's sort of gone through ever since. It's extremely fucked up. I don't really want to go into it too much here because, you know, it's not very NBA Strayer-ish. The thread's up there if you want to see it. She does explain a lot of pretty rough stuff, so that's big fucking yikes from me. But just a heads up so you know it's there. And look, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so if anyone's going through anything like that, there are organizations out there. If you know of anybody about it, look, hey man, talk about it. Sexual assault, it's a rough one, tough one. But there you go. Weird sort of thing that sort of popped off today. And then also, Ben Simmons also somehow live streamed a bit of an internal H&M meeting, which was weird on Twitch. Don't know what's going on over there. Bit weird. It was a strange one. Then they just... It looked... Basically, they came out and said that the Twitch got hacked. So, all right. Jesus. Bit rough. Either way, hopefully that Ben and his family and his sister and everybody is doing all right. And they sort of get that sort of... Hopefully sorted out a little bit. Because it sounds fucked up. Say that much. Right, Kawhi. report out from Sam Amick and John Hollinger saying that the Clippers and everybody else within the NBA reckon that Kawhi is going to stay with the Clippers. Everyone's like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. They can pay him the most. He's in LA. He's got his Fight Club alternate persona in Uncle Dennis doing all the... negotiating for him. I still love that this is like my idea that Uncle Dennis is just Kawhi in a Fight Club-esque kind of vibe, right? He's like, yeah. I'll just put Uncle Dennis on to, you know, negotiate with you there, Steve Ballmer. Yeah, g'day. This is Uncle Dennis. Kawhi, is that you? Did you just hand the phone to yourself? No. Either way, look, wouldn't be surprised if he sticks around. Obviously. Checks out. Speaking of free agents, the dude that Kawhi got traded for, Demar DeRozan there, There was also a report from The Athletic today that a source with knowledge of DeMar's outlook said he'd be taking a wide-open approach to free agency in terms of where he could end up. And the Spurs are like, please, please take the widest-ranging approach that doesn't involve us. Poor Spurs. Dwayne Dedmon, he's off to Miami. Free agent to be after being sort of traded around and then eventually cut. Lands in Miami, which is a pretty good spot for him. Just another sort of break in case of emergency big that they kind of need. When they've sort of only got, especially with losing Kelly Olynyk in the trade for Victor Oladipo, you get a big man just, break in case of emergency. So that's kind of nice. Freddie Gillespie, the Raptors are signing him from the Memphis Hustle in the G League. So that's kind of nice. And in COVID news, one new NBA player tested positive for the Rona out of 481 tested since March 31. Tristan Thompson's back, so maybe he just passed it off to Evan Fournier. We don't see Evan for a little bit. What do you reckon? It's no laughing matter, Jimmy. No, it's not, is it? Game wraps. Game wraps, 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 game wraps. Time for game wraps. They are brought to you by WeAre.co. Now, WeAre.co is an awesome little Aussie startup providing you with some really easy-to-use crowdfunding. They don't take a fee at the end. It's awesome. They're the best. If you're a little community, social club, whatever, sporting club, look no further for your next raffle, your next crowd fundraising effort. Boom. WeAre.co are the besties. We're using them right now for the NBA Australia raffle. Tickets are cheap as chips. The prizes are awesome. It's really easy to organize and set up. So go smash WeAre.co and go check out the NBA Australia raffle while you're there. Go check it out on all our socials. I think we put up a new one yesterday. Right. Today's game is Minnesota. Nearly beat Indiana. This was a weird game. 137-141 in regulation. So that's right. No one was playing defense in this one. TJ McConnell was lighting up. That's how little defense Minnesota were playing. And the fact that Ant-Man Anthony Edwards came out after and was like, yeah, man, look, coach ain't out there playing defense. We need to see what's going on here and actually try a little bit harder. And everyone's like, yes, Anthony, we do, don't we? Me thinketh the Ant-Man doth protesteth too much. Minnesota out of this, and then they scored 81 points in the second half. Suddenly it was a three-point game, 3 minutes left, and Indiana like, what the fuck just happened, bro? And Indy were saved by the only man who could save them, TJ McConnell. TJ McBuckets. There you go. 16 points on 8-10 shooting at through that moment. Then he hit a couple more buckets and he was just on. It was amazing. The game ceiling three that TJ hit right at the end was absolutely amazing. He and Jakar Sampson brought Indy home, which, considering they were without El Presidente Malcolm Brogdon, the Souvlaki King, DeMarcus Sabonis, and Miles Turner, and obviously TJ Warren, etc., that's huge. Wolves got it back down to three, down three with 30 seconds left as well. Then TJ hits a massive three. Rubio then actually got fouled on a three just after that, which was hilarious. Misses one of the free throws, though, and then despite D'Angelo Russell hitting a three with less than 10 seconds left, that was all she wrote. The Pacers hold on. Cat had 13, 12, and 6. D'Lo, 17. Ant-Man, 27 points. And Ricky Tiki-Tata, Rubio, at 17, 5, and 7. And it's one of those things you're like, oh, man, when Minnesota play a shit team and Minnesota have got most of their dudes except Malik Beasley, Minnesota aren't bad. Which is a nice way of saying they're very bad, even with all their dudes. The Pacers had 7 blokes in double figures. My sweet baby, Carrots LeVert, he had 18. TJ McConnell, he was amazing. And I don't use that lightly. TJ was awesome. He had 19 points, 15 assists. He shot 9 of 12 and hit the game-breaking 3 from the corner, where it was so close to being a shot clock violation, but he got it just out in time. And you're like, of course TJ got it out in time. Like, what's he going to do? Turn it over? Not on my watch. And nice, Jakar Sampson, he was 16-5 as well. He was massive too, as mentioned. His hustle, it's incredible. Like, if you put Jakar Sampson's hustle in Miles Turner's body, he'd be unstoppable. The Holidays had 43 points combined, which is wild. So we've got a couple of flippers yesterday, the day before, and versus today, where the Holidays couldn't hit a shot 2 days ago. Today, they couldn't miss. They combined for 43 points. Juzzy has 21, goes 5 of 8 from 3. Azza has 22 points. Aaron Holiday goes 4 of 4 from 3, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He was amazing. They brought it home. Azza's hitting free throws down the stretch to ice it. Great job. Great win by Indy as well. They needed that. Minnesota around 13-39. Indy, 23-27. Washington shit pumped Orlando, 131-116. Cole Anthony was back, though. Like to see that for Orlando. And I'll talk about this in a second, but kind of like the Magic. Just saying. The Wiz got him in the second quarter. They pushed it hard at the start of the third quarter. The game was over at that point. Seriously, the Wiz were like, oh, third quarter? Yep, now, cool, it's 15 points. Off we go. And boom. But I'll tell you what, the Magic, they didn't fuck off. They got it back to 5 in the fourth quarter, halfway through the fourth quarter on a Mo Bamba 3. And then it was back down to 4 on an RJ Hampton 3. But Rusty scored a bucket and had bracketed that with a couple of assisted buckets. And that was it. Washington just stomped it out the rest of the way. For the Magic, T-Roll said 24. Wendell, 15 and 4. Mo Bamba, don't be Mo Bamba. 19 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, knocking in threes. I'm just going to say it. Feed the beast. We need more Mo. We need Mo. RJ Hampton, erstwhile former New Zealand breaker. I love it when people talk about RJ Hampton. It's like, oh, gee, when he was out there playing in New Zealand, you know, it's like, bro, he wasn't just like in New Zealand the entire time just playing. Just everyone settle down. 15 points. He was really good too. Love to see RJ Hampton pop up. 13 and 7 for Cole Anthony is his return as well. But the thing is, the Magic, I kind of love it. They're like the Island of Misfit Toys now. Like Wendell Carter Jr. is good. Mo Bamba's good. RJ Hampton, Cole Anthony. There's fun talent on this team. It makes zero sense, but I love it. I'm not going to watch him, but I'm going to say that, I watched this game for a bunch of it, but that's because I just like seeing Mo Bamba do Mo Bamba stuff. Rusty had 23, 14, and 16 in this, 8 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 3 from 3, 3 for free. Brad Beal had 26 and 5, shot 11 of 19, he had 4 threes. And Denny Avdijar is looking good. Tell you what, he's been good the last couple of weeks, the rookie. 16 points, 5 rebounds. And Davis. Oh, Davis Bertans and his stupid Amish beard. How are you, Davis? Yes, well, hello, I'm Latvian Ryan Anderson. 6 of 11 from downtown for his 22 points. Good job. Rui Hachimura wasn't as great in this one. He had 9 points on 9 shots. Missed all of his threes. We did have 7 rebounds and 3 steals. Love me some Rui. Rolo had 19 as well. Robin Lopez, that's crazy. Anyway, Orlando was 17 and 34. Washington improve. Just ahead of Orlando to 18 and 32. Wow. The Knicks came very close to beating the Boston Celtics, 101-99. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't actually that close. It's not 2 points right at the end, but RJ Barrett hit a three literally right at the end to make this actually cover the spread, which is 3.5 when I mentioned it on yesterday's show, so that's a win. Back and forth game though, right? So much so that it was like tied in the last minute, which was really fun. The Knicks just didn't care. They don't care. And I love them for it. They're just like, you know what? We're just going to go hard. Just go hard. What's the answer? Just go hard. It's the Tibbs way. They're always going to go for your throat, even down 6 with 10 seconds left. Like Alfred Payton hit a 3. Somehow they're still in it. But Marcus Smart, he hit a 3 with 30 seconds left. That basically broke the tie, got Boston over the hump. And this was wild entertaining, right? So Boston are playing without Kemba. The Knicks are just like, well, fuck him. Let's go. Burks shot a short 3 right after that Smart 3. And had his floater blocked after Marcus Smart hit one free throw after that. And that was the game. But the cool part was, Brown and Tatum actually played with a little bit of desperation. A little bit. Not too much of it. Still, there was a lot of jump shots where you're like, look, they're going all right for Boston at this point. But still not too much in the way of free throws. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that Tatum's out there taking 2 free throws in a game, and Jaylen Brown goes for a game where he has 32, gets the line 7 times and only hits 3 of them, it's pretty embarrassing. Even without Kemba, but still a good win for Boston in the end to hold on. Even with the Knicks shooting 16 of 33 from downtown, which was absolutely bonkers. Julius Randle, though, was just sort of pressured into a little bit of rushing his shot, was a bit bothered by, like, all the quickness and length of the Celtics. Ends up with 22 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. You're like, Jimmy, that's not bad. He shot 9 of 23, though, and 2 of 6 from downtown. You do wonder if the rigors of this season is starting to slowly aid Julius Randle. He's sort of just slowly dropping off his MVP. His MVP pace from about a month ago. But anyway, look, good on him. He's still holding the fort. RJ Barrett was really good in this one, too. He had 29 points, 5 rebounds. He shot 6 of 6 from downtown. He was bodying Tatum and Brown as well. And you look at RJ a couple of years in now and you're like, yeah, that dude is built like a brick shithouse as well. He and Julius, just try getting him past him. D-Rose at 11, Reggie, big 5, Bullock. We got a big 5. 6 points and 2 of 8 shooting. Thanks for coming, Reggie. Burks, 8 points, took out 9 shots. And that was a big problem with the Knicks. Their depth Just not there. Quickly only played 13 minutes. He didn't have much going. But when Burks is not hitting shots, and you don't have, like, you know, Alfred Payton or Bullock popping off, then you're probably not going to win. The Celtics, they went 15 of 40 from downtown. Not even as good as the Knicks. But Brown was awesome. Crushed it right from the start in the first quarter. Ends up with 32, 10, and 2 steals. 12 of 26 shooting. He hit 5 of 13 from downtown. He dominated late when they needed him to as well, which is awesome. Tatum had 25 and 10. Smart had 17 and 9. Was always going to shoot that last three. 36 seconds left. He's like, oh, I've got the ball. I'm shooting it. Of course you are, Marcus. Time Lord had 6 and 10. Tristan Thompson, he was back. 7 and 8. Good on him. But no Kemba. No Evan Fournier. Obviously, don't Google me because he's in the protocols. No worries. Good job. Good win for the Celtics. Way to hold on. The Knicks are now 25 and 27. Boston eke back above them in the East, 26 and 26. New Orleans got straight killed.
So he got straight killed.
By Brooklyn, 139, 111. And this is why you sign a bunch of good dudes. And that's what Steve Nash is talking about, right? Hey, I thought the point of the NBA was to win. And that's why you sign good people to play for you. That's exactly what happens, right? No Harden, and this was still a smashing. KD came in off the bench after he was announced as a starter, did work off the court to warm up, which was actually pretty smart because he came in and just didn't miss. He literally didn't miss. He was amazing. They smashed it like from the moment he came on the floor as well. You're like, oh, shit, that's Kevin. That's Kevin Durant. Oh, geez, watch out. LaMarcus Aldridge was really good. Griffin was really good. And this is why he signed dudes like LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin for the moments when KD is, you know, still coming back from injury. You don't have Harden. You can still go, shit, man, Blake Griffin can throw it down on the odd occasion. LaMarcus Aldridge can hit some shots. This is good. I mean, the Pels just have too many injuries to keep up with that sort of scoring power as well, and that's exactly what happened, but good job, Brooklyn. Zion only played 23 minutes. He had 16, 4, and 6, but shot 4 of 12. That's the first time in 25 games he shot less than 50% from the field and under 20 points. He scored crazy. Bledsoe put on a Bledshow. He had 26 with one assist. That's my point guard. Lonzo went 6 and 11 and 1 of 6 from downtown for 15 points, 0 rebounds, 3 assists. Bit of a tough one for Lonzo today. And Isaiah Thomas, though. Back-to-back 4 of 12 games. Anytime you can shoot 8 of 24 in your first two games back. Look, little fella's warming up. There's not much of him, so it shouldn't take long, but here we go. 1 of 6 from downtown, 11 points for Isaiah. 19 of 41 from downtown for the Nets. With Timothy Luolu-Cabarrot missing 11 of those. He went 2 of 13, so really they went 17 of 28. Without don't go chasing waterfalls, TSE. Go maybe chase a fucking bucket, mate. They actually shot 17-28 without him. Good on him. 24 for Kyrie. He shot the hell out of it too. 4 of 6 from downtown. LaMarcus Aldridge had 22 in 22 minutes. He was really good. I'll talk about that later. Blake, 10 points in 13 minutes. He was handy as. Knocked in a 3 from the logo. Had a jam. Did all sorts of Blake shit. He was great. And KD in 19 minutes went 5 of 5 from the floor. 2 of 2 from 3. 5 of 5 from the free throw line. 19 minutes, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists of block. And 6 turnovers, but still amazing. New Orleans now 22 and 29, looking upwards at that play-in tournament in the West. Brooklyn, feeling good, looking good. 36-16, top of the East. Memphis beat the shit out of Atlanta. I was way wrong on this. 131-113 on a back-to-back on the road with Ja playing. Despite looking like he hurt himself yesterday, Ja can't be hurt by conventional, you know, weapons, I guess. Like rolled ankles. They killed the Hawks in the second half. Smoked them by 20 in the third quarter and just rolled to the win. It was crazy. But this is the problem with the Hawks. Trae Young, if he's not on one, they don't tend to win, right? 14-11, shot 6 of 17, 0 of 4 from downtown. And that's what kills me about Trae Young. He can have a pretty good game like he did yesterday and then turn around and just sort of chuck up this fucking stinker and you're like, oh, good job, Trae. Bogdanovic had 24, 6, and 3, went 4 of 8 from downtown. It was good to see Okongwu get a start. He was 13 and 11 in place of Clint Capella. Kevin Huerta at 13. Lou Will at 13. Both not very efficient. 13 for Huerta shots, that is. 12 for Lou Will. And with Trae Young struggling without Gallo, Dini Lagadanari had a rest on this one. Yeah, just not enough offense for the Hawks to keep up, even with Memphis, who shot 54%. They out-rebounded them by 12. Yeah, Grayson Allen had 30. Any game you let Grayson Allen get 30, you should lose. And you should also be banned from the NBA for a couple of weeks. Jesus, Ja had 19, 7, and 7. He was really good. My name is Jonas Valanciunas, dominated as well. 19, 11, and 4. Even slow-mo Kyle Anderson has been great of late. 16, 9, and 6 in this. Just turning into, like, you know, budget Thad Young. Love it. Dylan Brooks went 6 of 9. Nice. 3 of 5 from downtown, 17 points. Even without the bench lighting up as well, they did great. Good job with the Grizz. Good win. 26 and 23 they are now. Atlanta dropped to 27 and 25. Dallas lost the shocker of the day, 93-102 to Houston. What? But the zinger was back.
Extreme zinger meal.
But so was John Wall. And apparently John Wall is better than the zinger. This was a fun game because like you expected the entire game Houston to shit the bed, roll over at some point. But with John Wall back, they just never did. It was wild. He was feeling it. He was hitting shots. This was tied at 89 with 2.5 minutes left. And then Houston closed it out on a 13-4 run. Just call them Alice because their fucking D went missing. I'll tell you that much. They shot under 38%. Lucas shot like shit as well. He was 9 of 26 from the floor, including 1 of 9 from downtown. Jesus. Extreme Zinger meal.
Supercharged Zinger burger.
23 and 12. Good to see him back. 18 for Hardaway the Lesser. 14 for Brunson. Nicola Melli didn't hit the shot, though. Again, back-to-back games where Melli didn't hit a shot. And I'll tell you what. The Mavs, though. This is one of those flippity flips, right? Joshua Richie Richardson. It's pretty good the other day, but he went straight back to the brick bin today. And Dallas kind of go as Richo goes from three, essentially. If he hits a couple, they tend to win. If he misses them all like he did today, boom. He might pop up again later. But Richo, Richardson, killing me. Killing me. Rockets, John Wall had 31 and 7. Look at the goods. 12 of 23 from the floor, 4 of 10 from downtown. Christian Wood, what ScoMo's got for Cole, 22 and 10. Tell you what, KPJ, Kevin Porter Jr. had 14 points and just looks good. He even had 6 turnovers, doesn't matter, but he had a block on Hardaway late the last minute and took it in all the way down the length of the court for a slam with 1 minute to go. That basically sealed this for the Rockets. It was crazy. Kelly Olynyk, he had a career-high 18 rebounds. He's been great for the Rockets, I'll tell you that much. 10 points as well, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Talk about teams that just sort of seem to like, you know, a bloke goes to that team and just sort of fits. Kelly Olynyk right there. It's weird. Jay Sean Tate at 8. Points, 3 rebounds. DJ Augustine went 1-9 from the floor. Dallas dropped to 28 and 22. Bad loss for them today, going up against their old assistant coach Steven Silas. Houston moved to 14 and 37. Charlotte kicked the crap out of the OKC MASH unit, 102-113. I think OKC were missing Darius Baisley, Dort, Shea, Josh Hall, Moose Muscala, Isaiah Roby as well. Charlotte without LaMelo, Gordy, and Malik Monk as well, but Charlotte kept OKC scoreless for the first 4 minutes of this game. One of those teams where you don't sit down to your score would have been a wild, wild stretch. But anyway, Poku got him going. OKC even got the lead back in the second quarter, but then the Hornets got it back and held him at bay the rest of the way because of the rookie. Jalen McDaniels was awesome in the second half. He lit it up. He was great. I love him. OKC, though, had 22 turnovers. Poku was incredible, though. 25 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, career highs across the board. 9 of 14 from the floor, 7 of 11 from downtown. He was great. Franchise rookie record for threes made. Not bad for a franchise that, you know, had Kevin Durant, Rusty Westbrook, James Harden. Teo Maledon, 25-5-5 as well for him. He was good. Tony Bradley, he's a gun, 12-7. The Hornets, Jalen McDaniels, though. The second career start for the Wee Man, 21 points. He's a Wee Man. He's a power forward. 9 of 14, 3 of 6 from downtown. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. What a game. What an absolute gun. I love me some Jalen McDaniels. Way to go. I mean, he's been in the league a little bit, but only his second goddamn start crushed it. Devontae Graham had 15 and 5. Terry Rozier had 17 and 5. Miles Bridges had a very tough 16 points. PJ Hamilton, Washington, shot 3 of 13. Gross for his 12. The bank teller, Cody Zeller, had 15 and 14 as well. OKC dropped to 20 and 31. That's some good tanking, OKC. Charlotte, 26 and 24. They needed that one. San Antonio lost to Denver after Mike Malone got tossed in the second quarter, 106-96. After some spicy words for the refs, who he very clearly wanted to fight, which is awesome. Love a coach who's like, I'm going to fucking fight that ref. Denver had a 4-point lead at the half. Then the Spurs came out of nowhere. And it's like, wait, but Denver should have made the adjustments with their coach back in. Oh, no, the Spurs did. Ran a 12-zip run to get the lead. They're up 8. It was like 68-60, and then Denver went on their own 9-zip run, take the lead again. Then they just didn't stop. Denver just ran over the top of them. The Joker just took control. MPJ was hitting everything. Will Barton couldn't hit a shot, but just sort of filled in some gaps, and boom, away the Nuggets went. It was wild. There was a moment in the fourth quarter. There was a couple of dunks by Jermichael Green and JaVale McGee. It just got lit. So Denver up 15. It was just all she wrote. So holy shit. The Spurs had no chance of getting back into it either. So DeJounte Murray had 18 and 6. Derek White had 18 as well. DeMar DeRozan there. Talking about his free agency, mate, how about you hit some fucking shots for your current team? 14-4-4 with 4 turnovers on 5 of 13 shooting. Thanks for coming, DeMar. Paddy was the only help off the bench as well with 12 points. Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl just got towed by the Joker. Rudy Gay! I'm just so used to saying Rudy Gobert. 2 of 10. Thanks for coming, Rudy. The Nuggets, the Joker, 25-9-10. Classic Joker line. MPJ, 18-10. Air Gordon's just fitting in so well. God, he does awesome stuff. He's just like passing the ball back and forth with Joker at times where you're like, guys, one of you guys, yeah, mate, one of you has to shoot it. Just shoot it. Will the Thrill Barton, Will Trill, 2 of 7 from downtown. Jermichael Green had 9 of 5. San Antonio now 24-25. Rough stretch, tell you that much. All the way down in the gutter bit of the Western Conference play-in bit. And Denver cruising, 33-18. And finally, awesome game of the day, Utah versus Phoenix. This was an absolute rip snorter. It goes to overtime, 117-113. Phoenix end up winners. The Donnie Mitchell, Devin Booker duel that Chris Paul just came in and went, right, kids, fucking sit down and shut up. I'm going to finish this game. And that's exactly what happened. Phoenix had looked really good in the first going. And then they just forgot how to like hit a shot for like 5 minutes across the first and second quarters. Utah led after one. Booker had like a 5-turnover quarter, I think, in the first quarter. It was crazy. And then had 16 points by the half. He scored 12 points in the second quarter. It was on. The Suns were up 11 at the half. Like, Clarkson couldn't hit a shot. He was like 1 of 9 at half. Conley was 1 of 6. Mitchell shot 5 of 13 in the first half. And through the third quarter, Phoenix looked the goods. Looks like they might just like keep it away. Off they go. But Donnie Mitchell gets into the fourth quarter and goes, right, fuckos. Goes on an 8-zip run by himself. Gives Utah the lead out of absolutely nowhere. Booker responds. He's got 4 of his own. Chris Paul steps up. They tie it up with like 5 minutes left. And it's kind of nice because it's five minutes of that part of the fourth quarter and then you get another 5 minutes of overtime. They're basically the same. They traded buckets. It was awesome. CP3 got cooking. Phoenix got the lead back. Donnie Mitchell would just do some crazy shit. You had a wild Bogdanovich just like, what do I do with the ball? And he just stopped. They managed to somehow get a stop on a Devin Booker miss. Mitchell hits a 3 that goes in. He's ended up on basically out of nowhere. He's on 38. He's still got a little bit of time though. And it's like, all right, Suns going to put the ball in Chris Paul's hands. No, we'll give it to Devin Booker. We'll all clear out. He can wander around the top of the 3 and then launch a step back long 2. In a surprise twist, that didn't work. And they went to overtime, back and forth all the way through OT. It was literally Donnie Book. The old-fashioned Donnie Book. Then CP3, as I mentioned, just went, right, sit down, you two. You're fucking done. Booker missed a free throw right at the end, but CP3 had hit a 3 with, 36 seconds left. Iced it. It was awesome. Mitchell got fouled on the inbounds, right at the end because Booker missed a free throw with 10 seconds left that gave the Jazz a little bit of life. They're still only down 3 at that point. Mitchell, it's like, oh, he got fouled shooting a 3. No, they called it before the 3-point. He missed the first one anyway, and boom. No dice. Phoenix end up losing, but geez, great game. The Jazz, just not enough made threes on this one. They shot 44 threes. They made 11. And if that's happening for the Jazz, they're not going to win. Bojan went 1 of 8 from downtown. Conley went 1 of 7. Conley has 11 points. Bojan 20. Donnie Mitchell ends up with 41 points. He shot 16 of 34. Really turned it on the second half. That was awesome. Rudy Gobert, just stop with that word. 16 and 18. But Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, 4 of 12. Not enough jingles either, and the Jazz just couldn't quite keep up, which makes you think, you know, what's going to happen in the playoffs? Love this. Can Book, flip side, can Mitchell do a Booker and, find someone who can give him a bit of backup? Because Booker had 35, shot 13 of 31, not great, 0 of 6 from downtown, but he had CP3, 29 points, 9 assists, took over when it mattered in regulation and in overtime. Good on him. 3 of 7 from downtown for the CP3 as well. Ayton had 18 and 12 with 3 blocks. Not bloody bad. Not a bad game from Ayton. You like to see him closing out the game, especially going up someone as big as Rudy. The Suns had been closing games out with Dario Saric, the homie. But Ayton has gotten back into the good graces, which is nice. It's just weird that he looks like he's 48. Crowder, 6 points on, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. Shot 2 of 9, but hit a massive, massive 3 at the end of the fourth quarter. just set his feet beautifully and absolutely smoked it. And Cam Johnson also smoked a huge overtime three. Ends up with 11 points. Utah now dropped to 38-13. A Phoenix Sun team is basically only, like, one game behind them. That is absolutely amazing. Is that how it goes? Yeah, I think it is. 1.5, because they've played one less. So 36-14 versus 38-13, the Jazz. Incredible stuff. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife.
That's not a knife. Jaylen Brown in tonight's win against the Knicks. He had 32-10-3 with two steals and a block. He was really good. KD was perfect in his return, as mentioned. 19 minutes. He had 17 points. Didn't miss a shot that he took, which is absolutely awesome. And bonkers. Considering the dude hasn't played since February. Comes in off the bench. Just goes, oh, g'day, fellas. Oh, yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to kick the shit out of New Orleans. Everyone's like, okay, Kevin. 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists a block. He had 6 turnovers, but that's rust. Not rusty. 5 of 5 from the floor. 2 of 2 from 3. 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Pretty bloody good. Who else? Donnie and Book. Booker with his 35. Came on 13-31, but geez. What I hated, right? So that stupid end of regulation possession where he just sort of takes it out. Everyone clears out. Come on, man. You can run a bit of a high screen and roll. Keep Booker in a corner with CP3 and Ayton. Booker can curl, he can do whatever. You just need to score to win or get a foul. You don't need to fucking dance around at the fucking elbow three-point line and launch a long two with a fucking defender draped all over you, Booker. You're killing me. Because then, at the start of overtime, what's he do? He goes straight to the cup, layup. It's like, bro, drive it in the teeth of the defense, see what happens. Don't launch a fucking step-back long two, you idiot. Anyway, Donnie Mitchell, 41-8. He was really good that second half. That was amazing. The way he took over was beautiful, but come on, I'm going to give the, oh, that's not a knife, that's a knife, that's CP3. Right, he's looking at the young kids dancing around, doing their dumb shit, and he's like, these fucking kids, oh, I fuck, what are you doing, you, Devin, don't do that, ah, fuck it, I'll take over in overtime then, you idiot. The three that he hit with 1 minute left basically won Phoenix the game, put them up 6, even though Conley had his little nifty move a little bit later, Utah just couldn't close, and it was all because of CP3, so... Put it in the hands of the adults, and he won you the game. So CP3, that's not a knife, that's a knife. Spud of the night!
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Timothy Lualu Cabarro, 2 of 13, all of from 3. Like, you should, one of those more should have just gone in by mistake at least, right? 2 of 13, but anyway, Josh Richo Richardson, 0 of 9 from the floor. I mentioned this, 0 of 6 from 3. 1 point, one turnover, horrible all game. One of the great swings in Spud history, right? He goes 5 of 5 from deep last game. 0 of 6 in this one. Crazy. And Dallas really go as Richo goes. They look unbeatable when he's hitting shots. They look like shit and can't beat Houston when he's like fucking incommunicado. Nicola O'Malley didn't hit a shot again. As mentioned, back-to-back games. He hasn't hit a shot. He went 0 of 3 today, 0 of 7 against Utah. So 0 of 10 across two games. In fact, I think 3 of his 6 games... For the Mavs, he's not hit a shot. So he's putting up his hand for Spud of the Year award. Good stuff. But Richo, Mally, literally not hitting a shot between them. And TLC, 2 of 13. Fellas, what are you doing?
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Who's got no mates today? James Johnson got tossed for barely fuck all today. That was very much a case of reputation. Of like the ref going, oh, I better kick him out before he kills me. Which is a bit tough for James Johnson. He's out there, you know, crushing it from, you know, what, the pals. And he's like, hey, man, I'm just playing out here. I'm just kind of arguing the call just like everyone always does. What do you mean? What do you mean it's another technical? Fuck you. Oh, poor James Johnson. Mike Malone, also a bit of old mate, no mates. I don't get no respect around here, says Mike Malone. And Luca, a bit of old mate, no mates vibes in this one. Because he's throwing the ball around. He's trying to, like, do it a little bit himself. And then he's like, fuck it. If you guys aren't going to hit some shots, I'm going to do it myself. Unfortunately, he couldn't get it going today. So a bit of an old mate, no mates vibe there too. But there was an old mate, no mates where I'm like, oh. It very, very, very much felt like Marcus Smart. The fact that he hit that three late was huge. Because he was so close to like, ah, guys, don't worry. I'm going to shoot it. No, don't shoot it, Marcus. And I'm all for the Celtics having Tatum and Brown and having Marcus Smart, and Marcus Smart having the giant balls on that team. But at the same time, I think we've hit the point with Tatum and Brown, right, where one of those has to go, all right, Marcus, I get it. You're the loudest, you're the brashest, but we're better than you. We're going to take the game-winning shot, you know? Anyway, pantsing of the night. Fatty, fatty, fat, fat Time Lord got stopped midair by Julius Randle, which was delicious. The Hawks got pants, though, pretty bad. The Grizz were just kicking the shit out of them, right? And dacked them pretty tough. Because slow-mo, Kyle Anderson on a fast break, which is, you know, kind of ironic considering it's slow-mo, throws the ball to Ja Morant off the backboard for a resounding, massive dunk in Atlanta's house. Now, that's a fucking pantsing and a half. Cam Johnson off a miss on a three, gets the rebound. I think there was a foul called on the, you know, before the shot had gone up. He goes up to dunk the ball, gets blocked by the rim. He gave it to his old Grant Hill drink Sprite.
Man, that's Grant Hill. Grant Hill drink Sprite?
Grant Hill drink Sprite.
Clank. Good job, Cam Johnson. But Detroit as well. Talk about pantsing. They're watching Blake dunk on everyone, hit logo threes and shit. And you know what they're doing? Paying him to do it for Brooklyn. Blake now has as many dunks as a net as he did his entire tenure with the Pistons. He's played 7 games with the Nets. Unbelievable. That's a pantsing. Right, better than Lonzo Ball for today, however.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. RJ Barrett tonight, 29 points. As mentioned, 6 of 6 from 3, 10 of 14 from the floor. But come on, come on, that's good. Poku! 25 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 turnovers. Shot 9 of 14 to Big Poku. 7 of 11 from 3. But the absolute best part of today, the absolute best part of all the games, forget your Utah versus Phoenix awesome overtime game. Poku took the ball coast to coast, crossed up a guard, and then Mack trucked poor fucking Jalen McDaniels and nearly fucking killed the kid and bricked the dunk. Because it would have been one of the greatest dunks of all time had he have hit it. Old Slim Dog Thrillionaire over here. But Jesus, Poku, that was incredible. So, across his last 5 games, he's averaging 18.5 points, 5.2 rebounds. He's shooting 45% from the floor, 46% from 3, and 63% from the free throw line. It is remarkable. It's bonkers. Poku, the Poku experience is awesome, and I'm loving it. So, Poku, today, you are better than Lonzo Ball. Right, let's do some yenars right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadeet.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, time for some yeah nahs. They're brought to you by the DailyLiquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, don't go past East Nine. They're the best. I love them. A million awesome beers. And if you go to the DailyLiquor.com, you can check them all out. That's right. All the Dos Blocos Pale, the Dos Blocos XPA, which you can get a free 6-pack of if you bang in the code Straya at the DailyLiquor.com right now. I love the Dos X, the Red Devils. But they've also got cocktails. They've also got wines. They've also got these amazing party packs. If you go check out the DailyLiquor.com, the prices are incredible. And you can, you know, something for everybody, basically, as long as we're over 18. So if you're in the metro Melbourne area, you get same-day delivery if you order before noon. Go smash the DailyLiquor.com right now. Bang in that code Strayer and get a free sixer on your mate Jimmy when you're watching some hoops, watching some footy, whatever. Love it. Right, let's do some yenars. Jimmy, is Stephen A. Smith right? Without KD, are the Nets not assured to get out of the East? Yeah, nah. I mean, he's not right. But he is right as well. Like, what does he think he's arguing? That they are guaranteed and assured to get out of the East? Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure nothing is assured. What do you think? I mean, what the hell? What the hell was that? What the hell was that? I don't know. It's horrible. It's just no other way to put it. Because seriously, guess what, Stephen A. Smith? Without LeBron, the Lakers might not make it out of the West either. Oh, I've got another as well. Without Giannis, I think the Bucks might struggle to win the finals. I'm just saying, hey, ESPN, I'm probably going to need $10 million a year if I can come up with genius shit like, without KD, I don't know if the Nets will get out of the East. Really? Without one of the best players in the NBA, you're not entirely sure if they'll get to the finals. What the fuck are we talking about? What is that? That is just, it makes zero sense. It's just ridiculous. There's no other way to put it.
I think that's ridiculous. It's hard to get into why, because I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to be respectful.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, it's brutal. They went 16-3 with Harden and Irving without KD. And without KD overall, they went 23-9. So I'm not taking them fucking win the East without KD, but shit, what a dumb thing to argue. Would a Knicks-Celtics playing game be the very best outcome for everybody in the NBA? Yeah, nah, you best to believe it. Yes, 100%. At the moment, Celtics and Knicks are 7-8, so we would get a play-in game. So please, Hawks, Miami, and Charlotte, don't fuck this up for everybody. We need Knicks-Celtics back just as much as we actually need Pacers-Bulls being 9-10. Because remember, the play-in, 7-8 play each other once. 9-10 is an elimination game. Whoever loses out of 7-8 plays the winner of 9-10. So it's not the way I do it. I go all the way down to 12 and go with an actual fucking tournament as opposed to a tiny little series. But anyway, Knicks-Celtics would be awesome because you know the Knicks aren't going to back down. Julius Randle could rock up, kick some ass, take some names. Bring it on. Love to see that. Next one. Should Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell be in the MVP conversation like Mark Jackson reckons? Yeah, nah. Oh, nah. No. Shut up, idiot. Because look, I don't know. There's a little thing called fucking context, Mark. You dumb bastard. Because yes, they are two of the leaders on two of the top tens, two of the top two teams in the entire NBA. The top two teams in the West and the top two teams in the NBA by record. But also, guess what? You could make the argument that those teams are very successful because they don't have to lean exclusively on just them. You idiot. Both are averaging about 25 points a game. Look, it's weird how very similar their stats are, right? It's like basically they're 25-4-4, 25-4-5. Both around 3 turnovers a game. Booker shoots it a bit better from the floor than Donnie. Takes less threes, however. He's about just under 50% from the floor. Donnie Mitchell's at 43.5. But seriously, shut the fuck up. And this is my big argument. There's an interesting thing that Matty S brought up yesterday on the with his Yeah Nah about, can we just fucking quit it with calling fucking 19-year-old projects busts already, like James Wiseman and shit like that. It's like, yeah, we need to have a moratorium on them, like, basically judging big men who are really super duper fucking young until they're like, you know, 22, 23. The same thing about MVP conversations. You can say a player's having a really good season without going, they should be in the conversation for the best, most valuable player in the entire league. Because you sound like a fucking idiot. Because they're not. They're on really good teams built around them that they fit in really, really well with, that they help elevate. Jesus. Context. It's fucking simple, you idiots. Anyway, speaking of Iron Matty S, he asked after yesterday's Warriors-Bucks game, Jimmy, yeah, nah, the Warriors stole that win because Jordan Poole's hot pants are a huge fucking distraction. What the fuck? Hey, Jordan, the 80s called, so they want their shorts back. To be honest, I'm kind of on board with this. And I kind of think we should be doing more of it. So Jordan Poole's got the really short shorts yesterday, right? And if I'm the Bucks, you'd be sitting there going, did I just see his nut? Was that his left nut? Right, guys, just everybody hang back or else Jordan Poole's going to put his left nut on you because it's hanging out his short. And I'm all for it. Everybody should be wearing really weird shit. Get all fucking funky on people. Put them off their game. I love this one from, it was a great spot by Matty S as well, because I was like, oh yeah, Poole's shorts were pretty short. That's a pretty good one. I love that as well. And if you're the Bucks, just think about that for a second. If you're up there in freezing ass Wisconsin all the way, you know, throughout winter and whatever, the last thing you're ever going to want to do is wear short shorts while you're playing basketball. So they're going to be like, what are those? It's like, they're very short shorts, my friend. But I love it. Bring back the short shorts. Get your nut out. You know, get the old fella just swinging around down through your shorts and just See who wants to guard you then. It's a bit of a distraction. Is his dick hanging out his shorts? What's going on? Last one. Hey, Jimmy, were you wrong about LaMarcus Lesuc-Aldridge? 22 points in 22 minutes today. Yeah, nah. I'm not going to admit defeat on this at all yet. Just wait till he's not starting and the Nets are at full fucking strength. Then we'll talk about LaMarcus Aldridge. It's all fine and fucking dandy when LaMarcus Aldridge is starting. Kevin Durant's coming off the bench and there's no minutes crunch and he's actually playing in crunch time. So just everyone chill out. Right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me play. Look at me.
Quick one, easy one today. I still want Booker and Mitchell over LaMelo Ball, right? Did you just get that like bashed over your head with that LaMelo? Oh, he's the third best player under 25 in the NBA that I would like. He's played like 30 games. Settle the fuck down. Booker and Mitchell are the real deal. So I'd rather those easy. And Tatum probably too. And a bunch of other dudes, as I listed off yesterday's show. Outback Takehouse. But it was just writ large really today, right? You saw Booker, you saw Mitchell just take over the game. Barely any holes in what they were doing. I mean, Booker missed a bunch of shots, but still. Just, can we pump them? Again, flip side of Matty S's thing. Can we not say that LaMelo is the second coming of like Anthony Hardaway just yet? Just settle down. Right, Outback Takehouse. It's Thursday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, 2-for-1 blooming onions. No prick in Australia eats these, though. Don't know what the fuck it is. What is it? It's a deep-fried onion, you fat bastards. What are you doing? Just chuck that fucker in the barbie, grill it till it's black as a dog's guts, and boom, chuck it on a saucy. But you want me to deep-fry it? Fine, 2-for-1. Gonna charge you a fortune. Only at Outback. And today's flame-grilled take... Tell you what, these blooming onions go great with a flame grilled take. For all the people saying that neither of the LA teams will make the Western Conference Finals because we just saw a preview of it today with Utah versus Phoenix, you're idiots, and you've very clearly not spent time looking at Adam Silver's NBA. One of the LA teams is definitely making the Western Conference Finals. You better fucking believe it. Only at Outback. 100%. I love it. Oh, it could be the Western Conference Finals. Not if Adam Silver's got anything to do with it. Got to make back that money, bro. Right, take a quick break. Back with Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's talk about Knowable. What are Chris Paul, Scott Kelly, and Alexis Ohanian have in common? They're all in Knowable, which is a awesome new app where the world's top experts teach you new skills in bite-sized little audio courses. They're short like a podcast, expert-led like an audiobook, ad-free, 100%, which is awesome. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. It's unreal. I love them. The bloke from NASA teaches about space. Chris Paul talks about his plant-based lifestyle, and Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup, which is gnarly. There's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, download the Knowable app. Check out knowable.fyi. Download the app. Use the code STRAYA and get 20% off. It's sick. I love them. Go get smarter today. Right, Australian Player Watch, quick one today because only had a couple of blokes in action. Jinglin' Joe Ingles. 27 minutes in that Phoenix game. 5 points, 2 of 4 from the floor, 1 of 2 from three. 2 assists, 1 rebound, 2 turnovers. I reckon if Jingles had played more, Yaz would have won it. Patty Thrills in the loss versus Denver. 25 minutes as well. He had 12 points. He went 4 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 6 from three, 1 assist, and was somehow a wild minus 29. Jesus. They really turned it on when Patty was out there, didn't they? Ugh. Tough scene. Anyway, and the big tough one, I think I tweeted about this. Poor Will the Thrill Magne. Only bloke, again, not to get a run in another blowout today against the Nets. It's like, come on, whose balls does Will Magne have to tickle to get a goddamn bit of run out there? It's killing me. So a bit of a shit one for him. Bit of a did not play coach's decision. Right. Kiwi Corner, let's check in on the big Kiwi. What's he been up to the last week? This week, Old Man River, Big Steven Adams. He played, 8-10 with 3 assists against Orlando in that overtime game that the Pelicans lost. They then beat Houston. He had 12-8. He's really good in that one. 2 steals, a block, and 3 assists as well. But in the last 2 games, tough one for Big Steven Adams. He went 2 of 6 against Atlanta. He had 6 points, 8 rebounds, and an assist with 3 steals. And then today against Brooklyn, he had 8 points, 5 rebounds and an assist, but did shoot 4 of 6 and started off the game with a wildly awesome dunk. Ended up only playing 20 minutes, which sort of checks out when the Pelicans are trying to figure out who would actually slow down that Brooklyn Nets team. Right, Patty Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in for today. This one's a good one. It is, I believe, Patty Mills. That's right. Because Jingle Joe Ingles, you might remember his tweet from a couple of days ago. Jingles tweeted out, "We don't talk about autism for sympathy or pity. We talk about autism to spread awareness and acceptance for those children and adults that are just as important as you or me. And I'm so proud of you, Jacob. You keep being you every day. You continue to light up our day." And it's a picture of Jingles giving his son, Jacob, a big old kiss on the cheek. And Patty Mills tweeted that out with the blue heart emoji, blue heart emoji, blue heart emoji. Yeah, the boys. Prayer hands. Ah, it's fucking good. On you, Patty, backing up his mate Jingles, and Jingles always doing great work. Right, what about the picks for today? Do some game previews?
Game previews! Game previews!
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Jimmy, you excited about a couple of beeros tonight?
Oh, you better believe it. Thirsty for some beers today. I don't know why, but I don't know. Is it because it's a day ending in day, Jimmy? Yes! Shut up, mother! We went, what, out of 10 games we picked... Oh, geez, 3, 4, 4 out of 10. Jeez, bit of a rough one today, wasn't it? Bloody Utah. Killing me. And how is Atlanta? What am I doing picking Atlanta? So for the year, we are 454 of 822. Tomorrow's games, though, we have some absolute belters for a Friday slate for you. Gosh, this is good. We've got Lakers versus the Heat. Beautiful. Unfortunately, without AD or LeBron... Going to be a bit of a tough one for the Lakers, I reckon. Miami are 8-point favorites in this one, though. Miami are getting healthy and looking good. It's the exact opposite of the Lakers, so I'm going to take Miami Heat -8 here. I think there's an absolute smashing in store for the Lakers. They're down there in Florida getting their party on. No, they're not. They're following all the protocols, are they? Cool. Miami -8. I think they bounce back from their loss the other day and give out a resounding smashing. Chicago go to Toronto to take on the Tampa Bay Raptors. The Raps are 3.5-point underdogs at home, which is pretty crazy. But if they don't have any Big Boudicca Larry or Fred VanVleet, the Fighting VanVleet, Chicago just sort of seem to be hitting their stride a little bit in the LaVooch era. So I might take Chicago -3.5. I kind of like where they're going. It's a bit up and down at the moment, but... The Raptors, their D is just a mess, so give me the Bulls. I feel bad for Bangers, but Bangers going up against Vooch, that should be pretty fun. But still, Bulls -3.5. Cleveland, oh jeez. Versus OKC, the tank race is on. I'm going to take the Cavs -3.5 here because OKC, A, on a back-to-back, B, still have no players, and C, need to tank harder than the Cavs do. So the Cavs, they've got young players who want to actually win, so give me the Cavs. Milwaukee versus Dallas, this is a ripper. The only big problem is that Dallas already played today, and it could be a bit of a tough one if they don't have the Extreme Zinger Meal out there. Where is it? Extreme Zinger Meal. What do you reckon? So, I don't know. It's just going to be a bit tough. Give me Milwaukee -1.5. Even if Giannis isn't back, I think Milwaukee, I believe it's pronounced. It's Algonquin for the good land. Really took it to Golden State. Blew the loss in the end, but still. I reckon I can trust the Bucks against the Dallas team on a back-to-back in Dallas. Yeah. Give me the Bucks. Trust them a little bit more. Portland at Utah. This is a really fun game. Jeez. Give me the Blazers +7. Utah just a little bit. Look, on a back-to-back Utah after a really tough game against Phoenix, I'm going to take Portland +7. I think Dame just bounces back from his disappointing Clippers game and absolutely tears it up against Utah. So give me Portland +7. What do we got? Phoenix versus the Clippers. That's a really good game as well. Phoenix on a back-to-back. The Clips are 5-point favorites at home. I think I might take the Clippers there. Paul George is feeling good. Kawhi's looking good. The Suns, after a really, really great effort today on a back-to-back, it's a bit of a tough one to take on the Clippers then. So I'll take the Clips -5. Reckon they win that by about 6 or 7. And finally, the Pistons and Kings. The Kings are trying not to lose. Detroit, similar vibes, but just keep on losing. Do you trust the Kings to cover 6.5 points? I don't want to trust the Kings as far as I can throw them, but I don't want to also say that the Pistons will cover 6.5. So give me Sacramento -6.5, and there you go. That's it for today. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. Thank us later. All right, we're back tomorrow to wrap up all the action for you. Lots of good games. That's going to be fun. Check out NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. Check out the We Are NBA Australia raffle on our socials. Go check out weare.co. They're legends. Check out World Wrestling Australia. We've got Adam talking all about a whole bunch of awesome stuff in World Wrestling Australia, which is all on YouTube. And you've got our man, well, basically, look, you've got WrestleMania. It's gnarly. He's just doing so much shit that he hasn't told me what else he's been up to. There's so much other shit. So go check out and subscribe to FWCI for all that. He's got his Space Jam trailer reaction and everything as well. And Rhea, look, Rhea Ripley, that's going to be awesome. So she's crushing it. Go check them out. Lots of Aussies or championship, you know, opportunities and stuff up there. So go check out World Wrestling Australia on YouTube with Adam. Mash a rating, review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or your Google apps or whatever, your Android apps. If you can, do it. It helps out heaps. This dailyliquor.com, bang in the code Straya, get a free six-pack. Check out noble.fyi, get 20% off with the code Straya. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's the best. And also big thanks to Joshua Dillon Rogers, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Section I, Green, 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 and Dozer for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J, Earth, and Face. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Right, we're going to close out with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Love your guts. Oh, yeah. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosen.
Kia ora, brew, eh? Oh, it's Stephen Adams here, eh, brew? Just popping by for my weekly diary entry, brew. So here goes, eh? Oh, dear diary, eh, brew? It's me. Stephen Adams, eh? Oh, but you knew that, eh? Because you're my diary man. And you know all my deep, dark secrets, eh? Like how on Easter, brew, I stole all my best friend Zion's Easter eggs, brew, and said it was a burglar, brew. The burglar stole his Easter bunny eggs, brew. The poor fellow had to go and get some new eggs from, like, 7-Eleven, brew, in the first thing in the morning, brew. Oh, that was a bit sad. But also really funny, bro, because I ate them, so don't tell anyone. So, yeah, big week here in New Orleans, bro. I can barely move after all the chucky eggs I polished off, eh? My best friend Zion and my best friend Brendan and my best friend Wally the Spinion. We had our big Easter egg hunt, bro, in Zion's mum's backyard, bro. And then we all got into a big fight about who found which eggs, bro. Oh, who could have seen that coming, eh? But the best thing is, bro, it's alright, because I won, because I'm bigger than them. So, that's why Easter is probably my favourite holiday, eh? I just love chucky eggs. So then my favourite little treat to myself, bro, and especially for you steal all your best friend's eggs as well, eh? I mean, that's how we used to do it back home in NZ, bro. Me mum and my 36 brothers and sisters and stuff, we'd all steal each other's eggs. So the trick was to eat them quicker than everybody else as soon as you hit them. So yeah, that's how we all got so big, bro, that's what I reckon, so. But now I'm a bit sick, so that might be from all the chocolate, eh? So that might be it from me for this week, bro, so. Because our games have been pretty bad, brew, without my friend Brendan playing. I think he got too much chucky in him, and I've got a bit too much chucky in me as well, so we keep losing these games, so I might have to go cook a bit of a bounce back hungy, eh? So I might go do that now. So till next week, brew, cheer, cheer, love, Stephen Adams, brew.